If you have a Bible with you this morning, you might want to be turning to the first chapter of 1 Peter. That's where we will land here in a few minutes. I don't know about you, but I like a good journey, and it sounds like Duffy likes a good journey too. But I like a good journey. For many years, I lived in some very semi-remote places. Places where I would say we did not live in the middle of nowhere, but you could see it from where I lived. More like I lived on the edge of nowhere. You could get to the middle of nowhere from where I lived. And so I grew up and I love to drive. Especially if there is something on the other end, and even if that something on the other end is simply just a new view of God's great creation. Over the next few months, we're going to take a journey. Now, we're not going to get in a vehicle, and rather, are going to open up our scriptures and end up in what may seem, for many of us, like the middle of nowhere. In fact, that's kind of the way we treat several of the books of our Bible, like they're at the middle of nowhere and you don't want to go there. And I promise you, I'm not talking about Leviticus this morning. I'm not quite that crazy to think a few months in Leviticus sounds like a good idea. Few minutes, maybe, a few months, no thank you. In fact, if you look at the top of the slide there, it says not just extras, and that's in part because as I was looking at these passages of Scripture and thinking about them, many times we kind of look at them, well, like you might look at an extra in a movie. They're there to fill out a scene, and they more than likely never say anything that will be heard by the camera. But without them, it just kind of seems lacking. But I want to tell you this morning that, that's not what these passages of Scripture are. We're going to go to the end of what is our Old Testament, because I see great value in what sometimes is referred to as the Book of the 12, or probably more familiar to most of us sitting here this morning, the Minor Prophets. And they're not just extras in the Old Testament. And they're not minor because they played a small role. They're simply minor because they're short. Whereas Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and Daniel are long. So they're not unimportant, they're just short. But they're important to our understanding of what God, of who God is, of what God desires, and what God demands of His people. That includes the Old Testament people of God, the nation of Israel, and the New Testament people of God, spiritual Israel, or the church. And maybe at no time in the history of our country, the United States of America, has the message of the Minor Prophets been more instructional for the church in our country. And probably no time has it been more instructional for our nation as a whole. Well, that being said, we're not going to start this morning in the Minor Prophets. Instead, we're going to start our study of the Minor Prophets in the first letter of the Apostle Peter to the church. We're going to look at why we study the prophets and how we are supposed to apply them to our situation today. After all, if we are honest, the The minor prophets were not written to us. They were written to Judah, to Israel, and even their neighbors in the time between around 800 BC to 500 BC. So about 2,500 to 2,800 years ago. Yet I am fully convinced that though they were not written to us, they were written in some measure for us. And so now I would turn your attention to 1 Peter chapter 1. If you've got a Bible open, we're going to start with verse 12. If you don't have a Bible this morning, they will be up on the screen as well. Peter, writing to the church, he says, "As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied under the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know that person or what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which the angels long to look." And so from the words of Peter, I believe that we have a reason, we have a necessity to look to the prophets and see what they say to us. Peter begins, he says, and actually if you go back and you read the verses that precede this, starting at verse 3, you find that Peter is talking about the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. And so we begin with the fact that the prophets were speaking about salvation. And Peter says, you know, he says that the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, the prophets were speaking about salvation. Now, if we go back and we study the book of the 12, which we're going to do, one of the things that we're going to find is that there are places, there are times when they speak in what we would call messianic prophecies. Prophecies about the anointed one of God who was going to come and to, well, in some places he's spoken of as a priest, in some places he's spoken of as a king. But in either case, we're talking about the fact that there is someone who the Old Testament prophets were writing about who was going to come and to be anointed by God to carry out the purposes and plans of God that he has set forth. And we can go back and we can study the Old Testament prophets and we can see where those places are. And those are important for you and for me in part because they show us that God is in control. And one of the things about prophecy is that they show that God is in control. After all, if 500 plus years before the birth of Jesus, God can predict that he would be born in the city of Bethlehem, I think God is in control. The messianic prophecies help us to see that God is in control. There are other prophecies in the Old Testament prophets that we read about that speak about Jesus, who Jesus was, what Jesus was going to do. And specifically in the book of Isaiah that we're not going to look at, we read about the servant. The servant who is different than any other servant of God. And he's spoken of in unique ways. And he's spoken of as somebody who is different and does things differently. And the prophecies of the servant fill in a different portion of the ministry that Jesus was going to carry out. And then if we look intently at the prophets, we find that there are specific passages that speak about salvation itself, that speak to us and tell us and point the way to Jesus, who would bring us salvation. And so we look at those, and we see those three that are fairly straightforward, but one of the things that we also see is that there are some typological prophecies. Some prophecies where what is spoken of has an Old Testament historical referent. We see that the prophets were speaking about things that were in the present to them, but were also communicating what Jesus and salvation were going to be. And sometimes it isn't just the prophecy. Sometimes what they spoke of was simply the actions that God had called the people to. And they're speaking about Jesus. Now, to be honest, I have to proclaim the other side of this, that not all prophecy, not all of the things that the prophets spoke about were about Jesus or salvation. Peter does not say that everything that the prophets spoke was about salvation. And I want to share this with you. This is from a teaching, Shane Wood, who is professor of New Testament now at Ozark Christian College. He said this in a sermon series, or not a sermon series, a lecture series that he was doing on the book of Revelation. And he says, here's what I'm suggesting. And you need to understand this as we continue on over the next few months through the minor prophets. He says, here's what I'm suggesting. Biblical prophecy is not about prediction. It is about revelation. It is about a revelation of who God is, what God desires, and what God demands of us. If prediction is used, it is simply used as an agent to get the message, or get to the message, or get the message, excuse me, I can read some days, to get this message across. In other words, he's saying that if we look at the prophetic books, what we're going to find is that it's not all prediction. In fact, if we go back and if we were to study the Old Testament, and we were to get to the words where they're talking about prophecy or to prophesy, the root is nevah. We would look at it and we'd say nevah because it's an N and their letter B and then a silent letter, nevah. And it means to deliver a prophetic message, either of proper behavior or standard, or of future events. We could turn to the New Testament, and the New Testament word is similar. It's the word prophetēo. And it means to speak under the influence of divine inspiration, with or without reference to future events. So both the Old Testament and New Testament speak about prophecy or to prophesy, but you notice that in both places, it does not have to have a reference to future events. In fact, Shane Wood says that prophecy, prophesy, and to prophesy, if you do a word study of those three words, it will show that only 12% of the time is prediction being spoken of. That means that 82% of the time there is some other form of revealing of God that is in mind. We speak about prophesying and prophesying, but if you study the Old Testament scriptures, if you study the New Testament scriptures, time and time again, the main thing about prophecy is not the future. It's about a revelation of who God is. In fact, as we are going to see, looking at the minor prophets, and if you study Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel as well, you find that many times, many of the prophets spoke as if they were in a courtroom setting. Many of them spoke as if they were in a courtroom setting, setting forth God's word, reminding Israel of their acceptance, calling to view Israel's failure and God's faithfulness. And then God's warning of a coming reprisal in line with the covenant curses. And all with a view of repentance before judgment. And occasionally they came with a surety of God's coming judgment. But as we look at those, if we think about those things that the prophets are saying, most often it's about who God is and God's righteousness when he judges his people. And the fact that he tells them what is going to take place in the future is not simply about the events, but it is about who God is. D.B. Sandy, in his book Plowshares and Pruning Hooks, says the function of prophecy is to make the prosecution and persuasion more convincing. And finally, one more thing from Shane Wood. He says, in other words, prediction is just a vehicle to get the real message across. If you stop at the prediction, you're going to miss the message. And the more I study the scriptures, the more I find that to be true, that if we simply look to the prophets to tell us about the future, and we simply look at the fact that sometimes they talked about things that were going to happen in the future, we miss the message. Because most often the message is, God loves you and doesn't want to punish you, but if you refuse to repent, if you refuse to change your ways, if you refuse to return to God, judgment is coming. Another thing that Peter tells us is that the prophets, the Old Testament prophets who spoke before Jesus came, they were longing for particulars. He says that they longed to look into the things of which they were speaking and writing. There are two words that are used in our English language. Verse 10, the end of verse 10, says that they were making searches and inquiries. The word searched implies, if we go back to the Greek, the word implies a searching or seeking for something, and is often used of seeking God or the scripture. So Peter is likely referring to the fact that the prophets were looking at what we call the books of our Old Testament, the ones that had been written by the time they were writing, and they were looking back to those and saying, what is God speaking of? That's why in the book of Daniel, Daniel is said to have looked into the scriptures and found that the 70 years that Jeremiah had prophesied had been fulfilled. And so he goes to God and he says, how much longer must we wait? God, the 70 years that your prophet spoke of have been completed. How much longer must we wait? And Jeremiah or Daniel was searching the scriptures. Inquired, the second verse or second word there at the end of verse 10, it means to search something like a house, a tent, a city, or a country in order to find some person or something. And occasionally it refers to diligently searching the scriptures. But it means that this isn't just a, well, I'll look and see if I can find it. This is, I am dedicating myself to finding the answers and pouring myself into and over everything I can to find the answer. And Peter says that the prophets of the Old Testament were searching and they were inquiring about what was going to happen, about what it was that they were talking about in the salvation that they were proclaiming. And we could ask the question, was it that they were searching the scriptures? Or were they searching and looking through and thinking through their own prophecies? Were they looking at their own times? And looking at the things that were playing out before them and asking, is this the time of the salvation that God is speaking of? Is Peter saying that they were searching God out in prayer? And I think the answer to all four of those questions is yes. I think as we look at the prophets and think about the prophets, there are times when, yes, they were going back to the scriptures like Daniel and saying, when are these things going to be fulfilled? There are times that I think that if we look at some of the prophets, they were probably looking at the things that God was asking them to say. And they were saying, okay, how do I make these things fit together? How do I connect the dots? I'm sure that all of them were looking and saying, is this the time? Kind of like Daniel. It seems God, the 70 years have passed. Is now the time? And as men who spoke for God and from God, I am positive that there are times they simply ask God, what am I talking about? But you know, the answer that Peter gives us is that they never could connect the dots. They never could fully understand what it was that they were talking about, the salvation that they were prophesying. They never could completely come to grips because they were told that, well, it's not all for you. It was not for them. That's what they said. Jesus says the same thing when he talks about this in Matthew chapter 13. It says, for truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. And if we look at that, if you were to look at that passage in context, Jesus is talking about himself. Jesus is talking about the prophets long to see Jesus and his ministry. But they did not see Jesus. They longed to hear the pronouncement that the time has come. But they did not hear it. And Jesus is saying to his disciples and to those who are listening, you are blessed because you are hearing and you are seeing. A few decades later, the writer of Hebrews, talking about a large group of witnesses that we have who've gone before us, says this about those who've gone before. He says, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. The writer of Hebrews says they heard about the promises. They heard about salvation that was to come. They heard about the fact that God was going to send his Messiah and his servant. And they believed God, and they could see that God was doing something in the distance. But they could not see fully or clearly what it was that God was doing. but they still accepted it by faith that God was working. Paul Achtmeyer, theologian and commentator, says this in his commentary on 1 Peter. He says, "The Spirit of Christ," this phrase points to the continuity between the prophets and the Gospels. Both have the same inspirer and ultimately the same content. Underlying such continuity is the unity of the one people of God, a unity that justified the author's appropriation for the Christian community of the history of and language for Israel found in the Old Testament. He's saying that what we read in the Old Testament prophets is rightly for us because there is a continuity between the Old Testament people of God and the New Testament people of God. And Peter says it wasn't just the prophets and the wise men of old, but he said even the angels. Even the angels longed to look into these things. Because even though they were in the presence of God, they did not have a full account of what God was doing. And from this, Peter also goes on and he tells us what we should do in light of the fact that we have the revelation that was given to us. And that is, first of all, we should rejoice. We should rejoice. We should rejoice because we have the gospel message. We should be people who are full of joy and continually rejoicing. As the Apostle Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The greatest reason we have to rejoice is that we have heard the message of salvation. And we should rejoice if we have heard the gospel message and we have accepted the gospel call. And we have come to Christ in faith and submitted ourselves to Him to live for Him. We should have joy. We also should study the prophets to understand. If the prophets were studying what they had to try to gain an understanding, and Peter says that the prophets were written for us, not to us, but for us, then we should study the prophets to understand our salvation. And this then, from I. Howard Marshall, he says, "What then has this passage to say to our modern readers? One, it reminds us that from a Christian point of view, the Old Testament is not just a time-bound book with prophetic messages meant purely for the original readers. Important though this aspect is, the Old Testament is rightly recognized to have a future orientation. Specific passages look ahead to the coming of the Messiah and to the establishment of the church. And we will interpret some passages wrongly if we insist on finding in them a message purely for the prophet's own time. They were written so the prophets wondered what they were speaking about." Marshall goes on, he says, this is a continuity in revelation. The church can take over the Old Testament as part of its scriptures. Indeed, it must do so. The same Holy Spirit was active in both the Old Testament and the New Testament times, bearing witness to Christ. The Old Testament contains expression of the will and the purpose of God, which are valid at all times. And three, if the prophets had to learn that some of God's messages were meant for others and not for them, perhaps we need to learn that not all Scripture is meant to speak directly to us, nor written with us in mind. It is true that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, but we should differentiate between passages written for God's people in general and passages written for specific people with a primary application to them and only a secondary application to us. So we're going to look at the Old Testament prophets, and we have to understand that there are times that they were speaking specifically to their situation. And we can look at that and we can say there's a message there for us to learn. But the primary message was not for us. There are times we're going to look at some of them and say specifically that they were written not for the prophets themselves, but they were written for us, to tell us about the salvation and help us to understand who God is and what God desires and what God demands for his people. And we should not be surprised at all in what we should do, I think I forgot a word when I was typing. I think I meant for that to say, what should we do? But we should not be surprised at all that the final consummation has not been fully made known. We want to know a lot of things from our scriptures, but if we learn anything, and if we are going to learn anything from the prophets, it's that God isn't demanded and does not have to give us all the information. In fact, Jesus said that only the Father knows. And we could go back to the prophets of the Old Testament and say at that point in time that only the Father knew of the things that he had put into place. And sometimes we look forward the best by looking back. Sometimes we learn the most about the future by looking back to what God has done, because it's then that we learn who he is. This journey is going to take us to some familiar scenic vistas. Jonah, and more recently, the prophet Hosea. And then to some not so familiar views: Amos, Zephaniah, Zechariah. But hopefully as we look at each one, we'll see that they have something to teach us. Something for us to see, something for us to hear, and something for us to learn. More than anything, the prophets teach us that we are to live differently than the society around us, so that we have a voice to speak into our culture when it goes awry of God's design for people, for creation, and for the task of government. You see, we learn the most from the prophets when we learn that we are called to live the way God called us to live, to call a sinful world to account, and not to expect that every last bit of information will be provided for us. The prophets long to know about the salvation of which they wrote. And we've heard the message of salvation through the gospel of Jesus Christ. This morning, the message is for us who are followers of Jesus Christ to study the Word of God, to hear the message that we are being called to, and to live lives of faithfulness. Let's stand as we sing this last song together this morning.